Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here's this week's message.
Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. We're talking about God is just, part of our attributes of God. This is not a real shouting message, because it talks about the justice of God and the wrath of God. I thought in the introduction a while ago that Dell was going to preach part of my message, but he gave you a good intro. A.W. Tozer points out that justice is indistinguishable from righteousness in the Old Testament. It means uprightness. Justice is not something God has. Justice is who God is. God doesn't just operate according to a just system. Justice is not a standard that God follows. God is the standard of justice. All justice in the world is based on God's standards. It's who he is. Justice means that people are going to get what they deserve based on God's clear and full understanding of what they did in this life and why they did it. That's a scary thought. God's wrath and God's judgment must punish sin. And our sins will be punished not just because of what we did, but for the reason that we did it. You know, God not only knows what we do, he even knows before we're going to do it, and he knows why we do it. Pastor Brian Bill said this, I thought it was a good quote. Let me say that this attribute of justice, along with God's related doctrine of wrath, it's not very politically correct today. We'd rather hear about heaven while living as if hell is not real. Let me say that again. We'd rather hear about heaven while living as if hell is not real. I fear that we have turned God into an idol of our own making, where we latch on to his love and focus on his forgiveness while dismissing his holiness and his justice. We serve a just God. Very seldom do I ever give the end of my message at the beginning, but so you know where I'm going, I want to let you know we're going to end this message with this thought. Your sin will be judged, but you have a choice. You can either take that justice or take that judgment upon yourself and spend eternity in hell, and God's justice will be fulfilled, or you can accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross and accept that God had him punished for your sin and accept that sacrifice, and then God's justice is fulfilled. So I just wanted to give you the good news before I really talk about all the bad stuff we've done. There is a choice to make. We either pay the price or we accept that Jesus paid the price. Billy Graham said this, "Modern man does not like to think of God in terms of wrath, anger, and judgment. Modern man likes to make God according to his own ideas and give God characteristics he wants him to possess." David Platt, in the book Radical, writes about that in the West we have made a Jesus in our image, a Jesus that doesn't want us to ever suffer, doesn't want any hard times, wants us always to be happy. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. You know, we have wonderful promises in the Bible that in the church very seldom do we ever preach about. Jesus says, if you want to reign with me, and we all want to reign with Jesus, and we get all excited. And he says, if you want to reign with me, if you want to rule with me, you must first what? What? Come on, it's in the Bible. You know your Bible. You must, come on, let me hear you. You must suffer with me. But that's not a very popular message. Let's do a little Bible survey of what Scripture says about this just God. Psalm 75:7. But God is the judge, and he puts down one and exalts another. God is the judge. Psalm 97:2. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and judgment are the foundation of his throne. Proverbs 29:26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Justice for us doesn't come from human courts. Justice comes from God. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore the Lord will wait, he that may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. God wants to be merciful to us. Zephaniah 3:5. The Lord is righteous in her midst, and he will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light, and he never fails. But the unjust knows no shame. I want to give you some good news today. We serve a God of justice, but he is also a God of love and mercy. Romans 3, and we'll spend most of our time here in Romans 3:23-26. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I wish that had said, most people have sinned except Steve Mills and fall short of the glory of God, and you could put your name in. You know, sometimes we think that. We read scriptures like this and we'll go, well, all have sinned except for me, and they fall short of the glory of God. But that's not what it says. All is inclusive. When you go to a buffet and it's all you can eat, everything there is for you. It's all inclusive. All, every one of us in this room have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There's two main things we see in this scripture. The first one is the just God in his mercy mitigates sin. It says that in his forbearance, he passed over sin that was previously committed. God judged sin in the Old Testament. We have the story of Sodom, the firing of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have the story of the flood where God judged sin. But he didn't pour out all of his wrath upon sin during the Old Testament time. He let some of it kind of build up, waiting for Jesus to take that sin. Psalm 103 and verse 10 says, he does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquities. God kept postponing divine judgment, but he couldn't postpone it forever. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31 says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has affixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who was appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by rising him from the dead. I read a story in one of the books by R.C. Sproul when he was a professor at a seminary. He kind of gave a little illustration of this mercy puts things off. And he had 250 students in his Old Testament survey class. And the very first day of class, he laid out the assignments. There were three papers that had to be written. The first paper was due the last day of September, and anyone that didn't turn it in would receive a failing grade and there would be no grace given. The second paper was due the last day of October, and the third paper was due the last day of November. So he teaches a class and it comes up to the last day of September, and 225 students turned in their paper. And 25 of the students came and begged for mercy to give them a little extra time. So he relented and gave them some mercy. The end of October, 150 students turned in their paper, and 75 came and begged for forgiveness. And he relented and gave them some mercy. You probably don't have to guess too much what happened the end of November. The end of November, 100 students turned in their paper and 125 or 150 asked for mercy. And he said, no, no mercy is going to be given. And he pulled out his roll book and he started going through the roll and called out a name and said, did you turn in your paper? No, F. And all of the students rose up in anger because he showed no mercy. They said, this isn't fair, this isn't just, this isn't right. He said, oh, okay, you want justice? I'll give you justice. And he asked that student, so did you turn in your first paper on time? No. Okay, F. Did you turn in your second paper on time? No. Okay, F. So in my mercy, I was going to give you one F and two passing grades, but because you demand justice, I'm going to give you what you deserve, and that's three Fs. And then all of the students changed their attitude and said, oh, that's okay. We'll take the last F. Just keep the first passing grades. And that's kind of a humorous story, but it got me thinking, how many times do I do that to God? Keep asking for forgiveness, knowing many times in advance what I'm expected to do and not do it because I know that God is a forgiving and a merciful God. But I read this quote, in God's court, you and I have no defense. God does not grade on the curve. Because God is a just God, he must judge everyone who does not meet his standard of perfection. That means me, and that means you. God's justice requires that there is a payment for the penalty of sin. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for man to die once, but then, after this, the judgment. Dell said it well, we can't outrun death. Every one of us was born to die. Once we die, and after that, the judgment. But in Romans 3:23-26, it says that the God, the just God, that God who is just, is also the one who justifies the sinner. This is the substitute of the gospel message. See, God did not abandon his righteousness. God fulfilled his righteousness by sending Jesus. What God's justice demanded, Jesus provided. I need thee every hour. God's justice demands punishment, and Jesus provided it. Charles Spurgeon said, oh, sinner, if God punishes not sin, he has ceased to be God. Because God is severely just and inflexibly righteous. And this is the great riddle of the law and the grand discovery of the gospel. It is the wonder of heaven. It says, be astonished, O Christian, be astonished, O earth, that the very justice which stood in the sinner's way and prevented him from being pardoned has been by the gospel of Christ appeased. By the rich atonement offered upon Calvary, justice is satisfied. Justice has sheathed its sword. Justice no longer has a word to say against the pardon of Christ for those who repent. Can you say hallelujah? Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the fusion or the combination of God's justice and God's love. God's justice demanded death for sin. God's justice demanded that blood be shed to cover the sin. And in God's love, he came himself and paid that price. The fusion of divine love and divine justice. See, love and justice are not two separate attributes competing against one another. They go hand in hand. God's love fulfilled his justice, and God's justice demanded his love to pay the price for you and I. The cross was the most horrible death known, but the most beautiful example of love. It's the most just and the most gracious act in history. As I said last week, it's interesting that it's not a heart that's the main symbol for salvation for the church. It's a cross. But it's an empty cross. Because it was upon that cross that our sins were paid for. God poured out his righteousness and his righteous wrath on Jesus. It was with this act that God's holy just and his holy justice was completely satisfied. One writer captures it well. The God of Christianity never claims to be fair. Our kids used to complain a lot of times because we'd do something for one and we might not do the same thing for another. And they'd say, it's not fair. And we'd say, well, life's not fair. How many of you understand sometimes life's not fair, but it's life and we just deal with it? God never claimed to be fair. See, God goes beyond being fair. Because God decided not to give us what we deserve. It's called mercy. It's not fair. We deserved it. But God didn't give it to us. He had mercy. And then God decided to give us exactly what we don't deserve. And that's called grace. That's not fair. We don't deserve it. So don't get caught up that it has to be fair. God's way beyond fair because he didn't give us what we deserve and he gave us what we don't deserve. And God's justice was appeased by the salvation of Christ. And here's the challenge. In light of God's judgment and justice and wrath, and with the reality of the never-ending fires of hell, you have a choice to make. Either you choose to pay for your sins yourself and spend eternity in hell, or you repent and receive Christ and justice will prevail. Either way, justice prevails. And you say, well, nobody would ever choose hell. And that's what I used to think. And I did a crusade in a teacher's college in Uganda. And I gave kind of the altar call like this. I said, is there anybody here that wants to go to hell? And two young men raised their hand. Well, I didn't know what to do after that. I had never, ever had anybody raised it. Well, you know, where do I go now? And so I called them up and I said, why? And they said, well, our father was in the ministry, and he had time for anybody in his church, but never had time for us, and I don't want to go spend eternity in heaven with the God that stole my father. So parents, make sure family comes before work and ministry and all this other stuff. Let me say that at parents. Make sure your kids, your family, comes before your work and your ministry and all the other stuff you do so that your kids know they are important. Amen. Let me give you some action steps. Because God is just, these are some things that you and I need to do. This first one for some of us is very hard. Refuse to seek vengeance. In our life group, we were teaching some time ago that, you know, when the Bible says that when you call someone a fool or you say raca to them, it's the same thing as killing them. And the next week, one of the guys came to church and he said, or to the Bible study, and he said, "Pastor, you need to pray for me. I killed over 100 people this week on the highway just because of the words I said about them." Don't seek vengeance. Instead of judging and criticizing and trying to get even the score, let God be the judge. Romans 12, 19 to 21. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will pay,' says the Lord." Don't seek vengeance on your own. Don't hold grudges. Just turn it all over to Jesus. Because God is a just God, and we are made in His image, you and I should stand against injustice. He calls us to stand up for those who are mistreated. I remember one of the founding members of CIC has retired and moved back to India. And the people at the company where he worked were so sad when he left, because they told him, "You're the only person here that stands up for us when we're mistreated." Let me ask you, at work, do you stand up for the injustices you see in your workplace? Do you take a stand for righteousness and for God? Because God is a just God, and we're made in His image, and we need to stand up against injustice. Number three, because God is a just God, we need to step up our serving. Let me go back and read the scripture for that last one. Stand against injustice. Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Because God is just, we need to step up our service. We've not only been saved from our sins, but we've been saved to serve others. 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer the loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." And a companion verse is 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Every one of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account for the things that we have done on this earth. And even a scarier thought than that, it says that we will stand before Him on that day and we will give an account of every word that has proceeded out of our mouth. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever said something that it gets about here and you wish you could stuff it back in? We're going to give an account for those words. We need to make sure we think before we speak. And we need to make sure we are serving one another. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And then lastly, because God is a just God, we must go with the gospel. Make sure you have settled the fact in your heart and your mind that everyone that does not know Jesus is heading for eternity in the flames of hell without God. And because God is a just God and God loves every person, He has paid the price so that they do not have to have that judgment upon them. And He expects you and I to share the good news with them. I thought Joe's testimony this morning went well with this message. He's been sharing the gospel with his family. And because of what happened with his mom, now his older sister has made a confession of faith publicly. Why? Because Joe beforehand shared the gospel. And I'll close with this illustration. A man that was one of my mentors in missions, Danny Ost, told this story. He was having a big convention in Mexico City at his church, and he went to the airport and he picked up the speaker for the meeting, and they were in the taxi, 45-minute ride from the airport to the church. And the whole 45 minutes, they were catching up. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They were talking about the meeting and the agenda and everything that was going to happen over the next week. They got to the venue. They paid the taxi driver. They got out. And Danny Oss started weeping. And the guest speaker said, "Brother Ost, what's wrong?" He said, "Do you realize that God gave us a 45-minute window of opportunity to share Jesus with that taxi driver? And we were so selfish and so caught up in our own agenda that we never took the time to tell him about Jesus." He said, "And the opportunity is over, and now my hands are dripping with his blood, because God gave me an opportunity and I didn't take it." Our God is a just God. Our God is a loving God. His justice demands punishment for sin, but his love paid the price. And now you and I are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are the mouthpiece of Christ to take the good news to the world. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for just sharing with us. Over these last weeks, as we've been studying your attributes, help us to come to know you better. And Father, we thank you today that because you are a just God and we're made in your image, that you will help every one of us to refuse to seek vengeance on our own, but we turn it all over to you. And when we turn it over to you, we can truly pray and bless our enemies. Do good to those that despise us. Father, because you are a just God, help us as your sons and daughters to stand for the injustice in the world. Father, that doesn't mean we have to travel the world and try to face every injustice there is, but the things that come in our everyday life, at work, at school, or wherever we find an injustice, that we need to take a stand for what is right. And Father, help us to serve one another and those around us, and lastly, help us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But Father, let it start where we are every day, in the little things. And Father, I think about Danny Austin. How many opportunities every day do you give me to share the gospel? And because of my own selfish desires, or because of my agenda, or because of my busyness, I miss that opportunity that you placed in front of me to share the love of Jesus with someone. Father, we come to you today and we repent for overlooking those opportunities, and ask that you would open our eyes to see people the way you see them. And then to be bold enough to step out and to share the good news. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you today that you are a God of justice. And your justice demands a payment for our sin. Father, I thank you that in your love and your mercy, you came yourself and paid that penalty on the cross, in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son. Help us never to forget the price that was paid for my sin. In Jesus' name, amen.